Well, it has been a month since I've been in the pulpit, so hopefully I'm not rusty, but appreciate Phil covering. I checked out the messages, and I can tell from the pulpit it was good. I can tell from the congregation it wasn't so good. So I want to share some things tonight in the book of Psalms. It's going to be Psalm 16. And you that are here tonight, you know, what it is, hearing the Word of God is spiritual food that we take in. And it's spiritual food that we take in to feed our spirit, to strengthen our soul, our spirit, that we might become the men and women that God has called us to become. And I want to share tonight that we can be content with what's happening around us. And we see in the world today that people have put their confidence and have shifted their confidence from God and have shifted their confidence into other things. Whether that's self-confidence, whether that's money, whether that's jobs, whether that's more education. Not saying these things are bad, but when we put all of our, when we put our main confidence in those things, I will tell you, you will fall short. You will fall short. And we see today, not just non-believers do what they're going to do, but we see believers, even believers, shifting their confidence from God and the self-confidence and in all kinds of other things. And even some have put their confidence in their body and how they look and all their health and all those things. And all those things that I'm talking about are fleeting. They will all go away. You will not be as good looking now. You will not be good looking in 10 years as you are right now. Most likely. We all get older. Gray hair is bound to happen. Some weight is bound to happen. And you, it'll become a time when you don't make as much money as you used to make. And those things that we put confidence in will begin to shatter. I'm not impressed by how much money you have. And definitely God is not impressed by how much money you have or how much you have in your retirement. That's the, is it good to have? It's good to have, but my confidence is not in that because I'm telling you, the 401k thing can crash at any time. We put our confidence in things that we should not put our confidence in. Tonight I'm going to talk to you about David. And I'm going to talk to you and read one of the Psalms that David writes about his confidence in the Lord. Because there is a difference in the way that a man goes and lives his life, the way a woman lives her life and chooses her direction and chooses his direction. And you find out that when you choose it and live it the way the Lord wants, you'll find that your confidence is in him. And you'll find that that is the way to live life. And you'll be tested in your faith. You'll be tested in your walk. You'll be tested in those things. You'll be tested. When God says, oh, you got X amount of dollars and I want you to write a check for X amount of dollars. Well, that doesn't leave me much. Well, you know what? In God, you have more than you ever known that you have. God, let me tell you, God pays his bills here. Even when I stress and we don't seem like we have funds, I pay my bills. In my own home doesn't mean I haven't had problems in my own life. I know this. The Bible says if a man don't work, he don't eat. Amen. And you follow that. And if a man works, he always has food. Have you noticed that? When a man works, he always has food. It's a basic piece of scripture. If a man don't work, he don't eat. Confidence in God is a big thing. And here we're going to find out what David has to say about him and his own troubling things of life. Because just because you have your confidence in God doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems in this world. You're going to have problems in this world. And I will tell you this, if you could fix your problems, I'm going to ask you a question, why are they not fixed already? So we're going to turn to Psalms chapter 16. As we get into, as you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 16, if you're not bringing the Bible or you don't get the Bible app on your phone, Bob's got the Bible app. Carly, you know, uses the Bible app. Yep, yep. It's a little lighter than carrying your Bible. I still carry my Bible. Yep, there we go. And I want to tell you, read it. When we read it so that you take it in yourself. You're feeding yourself God's Word. Father, Lord, open our hearts and our minds and our ears and our eyes to see what you'd have for us in these scriptures tonight. And we ask, Lord, we would be filled spiritual food tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. He says in verse 1, he says, protect me, God, for I take refuge in you. You see, today people can say, a lot of people are just thinking that all the things we talked about, that their confidence to protect me is all the things in their health, because we know some of us have health issues, and if you're great in your health today, it doesn't mean your health is going to be great tomorrow or next year. We put our faith and our confidence in so many other things, but here David calls it right out, protect me, God. I put my refuge, I take my refuge in you. Sometimes when we watch football, we see someone step back and they just throw it up. It's the last quarter, it's the last minute, it's the last play of the game. We call it a Hail Mary. They throw a Hail Mary. The whole idea of it is to throw it as far as you can. Hopefully your team will catch it. Let me tell you, people do this all the time with God. Oh God, will you help me right now? And matter of fact, most of the people are yelling that out don't even know God. But they're yelling. They're yelling out, oh God, help me. They don't even know what they're doing. They just have an issue. They want God to come in and touch it and take care of it. And then they're going to go off and do the thing. So people will do that and when they're desperate. And they'll just shout out, God, why is this happening? When something bad happens, what do? They blame God. They ask God to intervene because he doesn't do it the way they want. They blame God. A lot of people blame God. But David takes a different route. He says, protect me, God. He's doing this because he has a relationship with God. It's not just a one word. It's not like, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm in trouble. He gets into it because there's a relationship between him and God. And he says this, protect me, God, for I take refuge in you. A refuge is a place of safety. It is a place where you run to that is for protection. And he says, I take my refuge in you. He's saying, God, I'm coming to you because I got issues. My confidence is in you. He goes to verse 2. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have nothing good besides you. He is humbling himself before God. He is humbling himself. Most people that yell out to God are not humbling themselves. They're begging for God to do something, but yet they have not humbled themselves. He says, you are my Lord. Lord means that you rule over me. You have authority over me. So he's saying, you are my Lord. He's saying, God, you have authority over me. You are Lord over me. You are control over me. You are my Lord. You rule over me. And he admits that. And he claims that. And he says, I have nothing good besides you. I have nothing good besides you. When you're in a crisis, and you're in a crisis, you're in despair, and you got some problems, you'll find out that all the things that you have, you don't think about those things that you have. You don't think about all of it. You're thinking about that problem. And he says, I have nothing good besides you. Because he knows those things are not going to fix it. He knows who's going to be there. And he says, I have nothing good besides you. He is humbling himself before God. And I'm afraid that there's a lot of us here that need to humble ourselves before God. In verse 3, see, he's not done. See, most people that are trying to throw a Hail Mary to God, they're done already. They've said what they wanted to say. They're just wanting God to fix it. But David's going to go deeper because he has a deep relationship with God. He's going to go deeper because he has this deep relationship. He says, as for the holy people, who are in the land, they are the noble ones. All my delight is in them. The sorrows of those who take another God for themselves will multiply. I will not pour out their drink offerings of blood. I will not speak their names with my lips. What he's saying, he's turning his attention to other believers. And he's turning his attention to other believers, saying, these are the holy people. We are called to be encouragers to one another, right? And he says, all my delight is in them because I see that I'm not the only one, that there are other believers. And their confidence is in God too. And as their confidence is in God, it strengthens one another. And he says, I look at that and my delight is in them. I see how God is working in other people's lives. But he says, there are the others that have drifted from God. There are those who have strayed away from God, who have taken steps aside from their relationship with God. And he says there in verse 4, their sorrows of those who take another God. They're being pulled away to a different gospel, which is no gospel at all. They're being pulled to something new, something fresh, something with pizzazz. Let me remind you, there's always going to be a new church in town, and prayerfully that God is opening a new church in town. If he does, praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, there's always a new circus around the corner with flashy lights, and fog. And I'm not saying all those things are wrong, the loudest music. But I want to tell you, when you go, pay attention to the Word. When a man takes 20, 30 minutes before he gets in the Word of God, it's time to leave. Now, it's different if he's doing a house call, he's doing some kind of one special thing every now and then, talking about what's going on in the house of God to the people of the church, you know, those kind of things, or a year vision or something when they're talking about those things. But I'm telling you, on a regular Sunday, the man of preaching ought to be in the Word of God right out the gate. Not talking about emotional problems all the time. Not talking about how our emotions and try to lure people by their emotions. It is by the Word of God that you grow. It's by the Word of God that you become a disciple. And you follow that. But he says he turns his eyes to those who are living it right, who have put their confidence in God. But he says about these people, he says their sorrows are going to multiply. Those who have shifted away from God, those who have drawn away from God, their problems and their sorrows are going to multiply because they put their confidence in things that will give them no strength, that cannot help them, that can do very little for them. And he says, I don't have time for that. He says, I'm not going to be around that. I can't be around those. I can't be around those people because they could draw me away as well. And then he moves on. See, he's not done. He's not done talking about the confidence that he has in God. He says in verse 5, Lord, you are my portion. And it always seems when we draw ourselves back to God, God reveals things to us. We start off praying, and when we keep it focused upon God, not upon ourselves, we'll find ourselves that the Holy Spirit begins to work through us with moans and groans, and the right words seem to come out. And a lot of it's going to be about praising God. And here he says, Lord, you are my portion. Means, Lord, you are enough. He says, and my cup of blessing. You, Lord, you are my portion and my cup of blessing. You hold my future. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Isn't it amazing that he turns this, even though what's going on in his life, he's needing to be encouraged with that confidence in God, then he begins to bless God. He begins to talk about God, that he is his portion. God is enough. He says he's my cup of blessing. And later in Psalms 23, David writes, and my cup overflows. And my cup overflows. And he says, you hold my future. Isn't it awesome to know that God owns your future? He has your future laid out before you if you follow his ways. Doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. But if it's right with God, I'm telling you, he will never leave you, never forsake you. He will always be with you. And even in your hardest days, knowing God is with you is learning how to worship God on a bad day. It's learning to be faithful on a stormy day. It's learning to worship God with a broken heart. It's learning to worship God when things aren't going great and things are falling apart. And that's when most people begin to shift away from God and trying to move their confidence in something else. And in that way, they only wanted to be around God when the good things were happening and all the blessings seemed to be there. But I want to remind you that even in the hardships and even with broken hearts, there is a blessing when you allow God to be your confidence. Because you know it's not forever. And he says, it is awesome to have these beautiful inheritance. But David is not done. Because I'll tell you, when you begin to pray in your heart, you begin to pray in your soul, and you're laying yourself out before the Lord, and you know you have these one or two things to bring before God, you realize that when you begin to pray and the Holy Spirit begins to take in and get involved with it, and you're humbling yourself before God, I'm telling you, you're going to say a whole lot more than you thought. And it's not going to be so much about you. It's going to be about honoring, praising God, and you're going to be praying about other people. Because God's got you already. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. You're kneeling before God Almighty, the Creator of all things. In verse 7, he moves into another area. He says, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord who consoles me, who counsels me. Even at night when my thoughts trouble me, I always let the Lord guide me because He is at my right hand and I will not be shaken. His confidence is growing even in this prayer, even in this prayer piece. His confidence is growing. What is He saying? He's saying, I will bless the Lord. He says, even at night when my thoughts trouble me, how many times have you laid in bed and you couldn't sleep and you've been processing some things that are not so good, or maybe some you're not sure what the doctor, what those results of that doctor exam really is, those tests you take. You're not sure if that wife or that spouse wants to ask for a divorce. You're not sure if your kids are in this situation or that bad situation. You're not sure what the judge is going to say the next. You're not sure, and it keeps you awake. Well, I want to remind you, God never sleeps. Some of our best conversations to God are at night, laying there in bed. Talking about the things that you don't have any of those sidetracked things. Talking about the things that will come up on your heart will be the things that are most important to you. That will come out. And some of you know what it's like to cry in your bed. Because what you're going through is hard. You wish it on no one else. And you're facing it, you're living it. It's a part of your life. And David says, even at night when my thoughts are troubling me, he says, I'm still going to bless you, God. I'm still going to praise your name. He says, I will always let the Lord guide me. This is a man who doesn't just say, Lord, you're Lord of my life. This is a man who's saying, Lord, you're not just Lord of my life, Jesus, but you're really allowing Jesus to be Lord. He said, I'll always let the Lord guide me because He is at my right hand and I will not be shaken. I don't know if me ever been driving down the road and look over there, you're by yourself in your car and you say, yeah, Lord, I know you're with me. Anybody besides me is crazy enough to think like that? Yeah, Lord, I know you're with me. Let's keep on driving. I don't think we know how close the Lord is to us who are believers tonight. He's your biggest fan. He's given you so much. And David makes a claim in his confidence. He says, He's at my right hand. And he says, I will not be shaken. Although this is troubling me, I will not let this overtake me, no matter what it is. Sometimes we don't really know what it's like until we have faced a very hard situation. Our heart's been broken and our faith is tested to know that God is our confidence. And he moves in here in verse 9. He says, therefore, my heart is glad. My heart is glad. You know that you can rejoice even with a broken heart. He says, therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. That whole being is your mind, body, and your soul and your spirit. That means you got it all. You got it all there. He says, my body also rests securely. When you know you have salvation in the Lord and you understand that the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you, that the Lord is always with you, you will know that you are secure no matter what. You know that you are secure no matter what. He says, for you will not abandon me, and Sheol, you will not allow your faithful one to see decay. David states that his overall joy is in the Lord, not in the things of the world, but in the Lord, that his heart, mind, and soul, and his body rest and rejoices and is glad is in the Lord. There's another psalm down through the book of Psalm in 73, verse 24 says, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me up in glory. You will not abandon those who are, you will not abandon those who are his at the grave. The Bible tells us that John 3:16 tells us whoever believes in Jesus will have everlasting life. Romans 10:9, to get this confidence, says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, tonight my confidence sometimes gets shaken, but it is in the Lord. Growing through the years, my faith has been challenged and tested over the years. And even when I've been faithless, God has always been faithful. For the Bible says he cannot deny himself, for his spirit rides and lives in the believer. Verse 11 says, you reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. At your right hand are eternal pleasures. He says, you reveal the path of life to me. God reveals things to the believers that he will never reveal to the lost. First would be his will for you in this world. Once we become a believer, God has a plan. God begins a plan. You may not know it all in the beginning, but God set forth a plan for you. Because once you become a believer, you become a child of God. You be engrafted and become a part of the family of God. And God is the Father. And we are the children. And when we realize that, we will understand and know that God, that Jesus is our Lord. I need the Lord to rule over me. I don't do very good leading my own life. If you're leading your own life, I go, how's that going for you? Tonight, there's several people in our church that are not letting the Lord lead their life. They haven't been in church in a month. And watching online is not the same as being in the prayer. God says we are to assemble ourselves together. Not forsake the assembling together, as some are in the habit of doing. But we are called to spur one another up, encourage one another. He also says, you reveal the path of life to me, but he also says, in your presence is abundant joy. You know why a lot of people aren't, you know why a lot of Christians don't have joy like they used to? Because they stopped doing the things that God calls us to do. They shifted. They have moved off to something else. And we can have all kinds of problems with the church. Oh, the church did this. The church did that. This guy did this. This guy did that. Oh, I'm just going to do my God thing by myself. I go, how's that working out for you? The Bible tells us that God gives us eternal, he gives us spiritual gifts. He gives all the believers at least one spiritual gift. And it's to be used in the church to edify, to encourage, to help the church grow, to disciple, to teach. How you do that when you're just watching it online all the time? Are you special? Are you special? There's some people watching online right now. I haven't been in church in years. I say, are you special? You're not special. You're not special. You got to give some reverence to God again. We won't come into the church with our pajamas and, oh, I mean, I get it if you're sick. I get it if you're laid up at home. I get it with the elders or nursing homes. I get it, but we got, you know, I get it. But there should be a desire, a heart to be in the house of God. And there should be a reverence to God when we walk in. I take my hats off. I don't know. This is me. That's what I do. I walk in and I wear my best. I try to wear my best and I don't wear jeans. Sometimes I'm not jumping. I'm just saying the reverence of God has walked out of the house. And if the President of the United States would, if he was coming in this Sunday, I guarantee you, people would come in. Now I know we're politically angry today. We got to start giving reverence back to God. Let me tell you, God does take attendance. Every day. God listens every day for his phone to ring. We serve a good God, a merciful God, a gracious God, and a loving God. He's not getting his best from New Life. I'm going to tell you that right now. And then this, I know this is Wednesday night, but he's not getting his best. I can't have that. Not a spiritual leader. I can't have that. That's tearing me up. We got to put our confidence back in God. We got to put our confidence back in the Lord. Not that, oh, I'm saved, I'm good. Let me tell you, God disciplines those whom he loves. God will put up with it for so long. But David gives another point. He says, you reveal the path of life to me. He says, listen, because God will reveal things to you when you're walking in his path, giving him the confidence, and his confidence is in God. Where your eyes are, there where you will be. Where your feet are, that's where you are. And tonight, your feet is in the house of the Lord, and God sees it. Your eyes are in the house of the Lord, and he sees you as you see tonight. And we hear tonight, you're hearing the Word of God. And hopefully, even more important, you're hearing the Holy Spirit speak to you tonight. You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. I'm always happier when I'm walking in the will of the Lord. You see, you're always more happy when you're walking in the will and the ways of the Lord. And he says, and at the right hand, at your right hand, oh, here's a beautiful piece, eternal pleasures. Our eternal pleasures. Yes. David's confidence starts with, protect me, God, for I take refuge in you. And he ends with his confidence, continues his confidence all the way into eternal life. Life, death, burial, eternal life. His confidence is in God. For he says, at your right hand are eternal pleasures. God loves to give. I'm telling you, God loves to give. Be careful on what you listen to, on what preachers say that God wants to give to you. It's not the riches of the world and money, 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 money. God wants to give you eternal life. God wants to give you eternal peace. He wants to give you peace. Jesus says, I came to give you life more abundantly. Yes. And people take it out of context and thinks it's all about money, thinks it's all about power, it's all about this and that. Let me tell you, God's not impressed by all those things. God is looking for people's heart to turn to him. So I ask a question to you tonight. What do you put your confidence in? Who are you putting your confidence in? You should think for a minute. You should think about that for a minute. Who are you putting your confidence in? You can't put your confidence in, oh, I've been a believer for 25 years and I'm resting on my old times when I served the Lord back in the day. No, it is, and those things were great, but it's not about what you've done in the past. That's good stuff. But what are you doing today? Because the more you go into the presence, you're going into the future. If you haven't done things and you're not serving the Lord, you're not giving your confidence with him, that gap gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And what you've done is you've strayed. And you can have perfect attendance in church and stray from God. God is looking for the heart. So I'm going to do something tonight. I'm going to ask that we go ahead and stand right now. I'm going to do something tonight. The altar is open for you if you'd like to use it tonight.